You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Sometimes life blindsides you. You might lose someone very close. And in the search for answers, you are pulled further toward the greatest mystery of all, the reality of a life after this. This was a unique and difficult episode. A few days before recording, John's dog, loyal companion, and best friend of the last 9 years, unexpectedly passed away. And out of that sadness, we wanted to honor him by exploring hopeful encounters with the miraculous and messages from beloved animals that pass away all too soon, who occasionally reach back with a furry high five and a bark from beyond the veil. This episode of Belief Hole is dedicated to the mascot of the show and a very much missed friend, Jake.
Conspiracy.
Synchronicity.
Sasquatch.
Homunculus.
Alien races.
Satanism in Hollywood.
MK Ultra.
Tartaria.
There's like a whole... I've been watching this one guy that...
Close the door, in.
Jury! Close your door!
What's the,
Inner Earth.
Disagreements.
Ghost Dad!
I like that movie.
Dogman.
Bohemian Grove.
Corey Feldman.
Magicians are demons.
Specters.
Spirit summonings.
Paralysis.
Strange disappearances.
Sky whale phenomenon.
Yes. Alternative history.
Shadow people.
Shh, quiet! I'm trying to say words with my mouth.
It's getting dicey out there.
Poltergeists.
That's cool.
Anunnaki.
What is the moon?
Elf towers.
I would never talk about it. That's old.
Y2K.
Cover-ups.
Apocalyptic catastrophe.
Vampire.
Vampire.
Well, hello, hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
It's great to have you here. I'm Jeremy.
I am John.
I'm Chris.
And today?
Today we have a slightly different show for you. It is a slightly somber episode.
Yeah.
As some of you know, I lost my friend Jake, my dog, my best friend, April 9th. So 4 or 5 days ago now. And so, yeah, we're going to be doing an episode that's not quite as, I guess, joyful and fun as some of our episodes, but it's going to be a hopeful episode. It's going to be kind of a reflective episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be basically on people's experiences of animals touching base with their owners from the afterlife.
That's right, from the other side. You guys might have noticed, those that follow us on the social medias and members who've received emails, that we put a call out for stories. Anyone that may have experienced something like this, encountering a lost loved Four-legged friend.
Four-legged, the best of friends.
Yeah.
Purest of souls that have crossed over before them that may have come back and given sign.
Boy, there were a lot of you out there.
Yes, a lot of evidence of that, I think, the greatest of mysteries, what comes after this, and the connection between people and their pets. So that's what this episode is about. Yeah. Had some great stories. Go ahead, John.
You know, we've done stories on near-death experiences. It's kind of my forte. I really do love that topic, and it's very profound and meaningful, but this is definitely a slightly different angle. But there's a lot of overlap. So it's interesting to, you know, I was not expecting this to happen, to have to deal with it this way, but obviously...
very unexpected.
Our pets don't live with us nearly as long as our friends and family. So just for a quick kind of what happened, just so people know. So he started showing some symptoms, I guess, like 2 weeks before he died. So I had taken him to several places, the vet, emergency room the first time, then a couple other vets, and none of them really were able to diagnose exactly what was wrong with him. And so, you know, I thought it was definitely something, it might be something deeper, but I did not know how sick he was. So the last night, I had woken up in the middle of the night, and I knew he was dying, and so I had to take him to the vet, the ER emergency room, and they think that he had like a tumor on his spleen, and so he bled out like through his stomach.
And you'd been taking him, what, for like 4 or 5 days before that, just on and off,
well,
trying to figure it out?
4 or 5 different times over like a 2 week period.
Yeah.
And so they all thought it was different things. They thought it could have been an injury, you know, like with his back, like, cause it happened once when he was running, and basically just kept having the symptom of his stomach would like swell and just, you know, when something's really wrong with your pet. And, you know, I mean, the worst of dealing with this stuff is thinking about all the things you missed. And, you know, unfortunately, the last day, you know, he started having these symptoms again. And I just wish I would have spent more time with him at the end. I didn't know what to do for him. And I kind of told him that, like, we got to wait to go back to the vet again. I didn't think he obviously was going to die that night, but.
You still took him that night, though.
Yeah, when I woke up in the middle of the night, because I knew something was wrong.
Just sensed it. Night of the eclipse, too. Yeah, it was the night.
The next morning, like early in the morning.
Crazy.
It was tough because I had taken a man, you know, and they had brought him into another room, and they came and, you know, told me, like, basically, this is pretty serious. Like, we could either attempt this really expensive surgery, but chances are, like, this is a pretty end of the road situation. It's most likely not going to work. And he died before I could even come in and say goodbye, and because we were going to have to put him down. So that part sucks, you know, it sucks. The worst part about it is the dying process. And anyways, we're getting all the bad stuff out of the way
at
the beginning, because obviously that's part of the whole process. I'm sure a lot of people that have had pets that have had to deal with this, a lot of people do have regrets about the, you know, the way it ended, and it can haunt people for a long time. And not everyone may understand this. You know, if you haven't had a pet that's really close to you, you may not quite fully understand what it's like to lose them. But I think everyone knows how deeply, especially dogs, I mean, cats too, but
yeah,
you know, the unconditional love you feel from your animals is unlike the love you get from human beings.
It's pure.
There's a reason that dog is God backwards. Because it's like that just unconditional love that you really don't feel from human beings. It's hard as a human being.
Human beings are messy, complicated.
Yeah, they're very simple, loving, you know, it doesn't matter how, like if you get mad at them or you don't, something happens where they just always are there for you.
Yeah.
And so that can be extremely hard for people when they lose that, and especially people that don't have other family or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, how long did you had Jake for... So how many years?
8 or 9 years.
I think he had turned 9 in March. Yeah. So.
Speaking of unique relationships, you guys spent every day together. Like, I don't think you had really any time off from each other for 9 years, just you and him.
More than a couple hours at a time. Really.
For those that don't know Jake or my relationship, I didn't talk that much about it. I think a little bit here and there, but
I think people knew he was
a rescue.
Mascot of the show, essentially.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. But he was a rescue, and I think he had been abused. And so he was a big dog. Very like domineering, you know, really athletic guy and just
energy,
so much energy. He was a shepherd, so he loved, you know, he liked dominating other dogs and other animals. That was his thing, you
and
know.
And people.
And so I had some traumatic experiences with him in Austin as far as like with other dogs and even people. So when I got back to Ohio, he kind of became just a family dog. And I always felt really bad about that because I know he did love playing with other dogs. And no one else could watch him except for family. So mm-hmm. It was a lot to take care of him and just all he was like, you know, it was me and him.
Yeah.
I had accepted like that. This
he
is
has
just,
roommates, best friends for almost a decade.
And he hated when I left. It didn't matter how long we were together. He hated because I wouldn't leave for very long. It was a short period of time, like no more than an hour or two.
Because you knew how he felt.
I could feel him, you know, you feel your pet. There's that telepathic bond. And so, you know, the fact that he doesn't have to be there anymore, you know, and live that very closed off lifestyle. I know he didn't like that. So, you know, death is a strange thing. And it does really make you the really positive aspect of death when it does happen, it really makes you reevaluate what's important in your life. And it can be an opportunity to break out of old patterns and thought habits and things that are not really helpful to you or your future. And if there's a silver lining to any of that, it really does make you just appreciate life so much more and what you have. And, you know, to make sure you're on your own path so that when you cross over, you know, you don't have a ton of regrets, because in my opinion, we all go on. And I really do strongly believe that. And so do our pets. And that's what the episode is about. So
that's right.
It's going to be a hopeful, positive episode that we all will meet again. And we have some wonderful stories to help prove that.
That's right. So let's touch some of that mystery now, if you guys are ready. Little glimpses from the other side, brought to us by our furry messengers. And by the way, we did send out requests, like I mentioned, from you guys. And seriously, thank you all so much for the ridiculous support.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for all of the sweet, kind messages. It really, really has been very helpful to me. So even if I didn't respond to you, know that I read almost everything and it was overwhelming. So thank you very much.
And I will say that the stories you received, I haven't been able to read all of them yet because the amount of stories that have come in from this request has been crazy and amazing. And we kind of took them as they came in, the really good stories. I grabbed them and put them in the notes. And so if you do not hear your story on this episode, I'm sure we'll revisit this topic in the future. So we have those bookmarked. But also John brought up a really good idea, which would be in honor of Jake, especially to have on the website. And because people are looking for these kinds of stories online who are going through this or have been through it, we're going to have a special section on the website where all these stories we've received will be posted for you guys to read over yourselves, as well as the speak pipes and stuff that will be accessible on this topic.
Yeah, thanks, man, for doing that.
Absolutely. For Jake, man. And this is for Jake.
This is to the bestest of best friends.
And beloved mascot.
Everyone knows when they all feel the same way.
So going through this episode, in typical kind of fashion with the Beliefful, even though this is a very special and kind of heavy episode, you will notice patterns, like we discuss in these kinds of topics. Patterns that point to a connection from the other side. And the greatest of mysteries, where we're headed, where our pets are headed, and where we'll find them again. And specifically, some of the patterns that I was hearing in these stories that we got were pretty obvious to me. Just sort of the physical interactions with their pets or their, like I kept saying Jake sign. We're hoping for Jake sign of him from the other side. But any pet sign you might get from someone who's passed over, you'll notice these kind of patterns specifically. And I want to read a quick quote. This comes from a Dr. Michael W. Fox, who is a veterinarian and author, and I think is or was vice president of the Humane Society at one time. But he did a number of books studying this phenomenon, specifically with pets crossing over and then communicating afterwards. I'm going to read just a short quote from this, and then towards the end might wrap up with the finalization of his quote, because it kind of is a nice bookmark for this whole phenomena.
Before you do that, though, I mean, I think that these messages or signs are interchangeable. Like they could be, I mean, very similar as far as from humans too. So
oh, yeah, for sure.
If you've lost someone that's a human, you know.
Sorry, just one of the stories where I'm just thinking of the signs, because I know one of the patterns is feeling like the feet walking on the bed. I'm just picturing like your grandpa. He's like walking up to your chest and sitting on you, jumping on your lap. Right.
But I would say just, I mean, you'll know.
Sign in general.
Don't dismiss stuff that you feel like is a very profound message.
Yeah.
Because I mean, whether they're from animals or people that you loved. I think they come obviously from both. So
yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, here's a bit from this. This comes from Dr. Michael W. Fox, Animal Spirits, Companion Animal Communications After Death. And we'll link this in the show notes. The after-death physical manifestations of dogs and cats to their human companions point to other realities beyond this mortal plane. Such manifestations are sometimes visual, either as an aura of light or even a clear image of the animal, or often purely auditory or tactile, as when the deceased animal's footsteps are heard. A cold nose is felt on one's leg, or a deceased cat is felt jumping onto the bed. These phenomena suggest that there is more to the states of life and death than we fully comprehend. There is some form of being, not non-being, after physical death, possibly in a transitional form or state for some time after separation of the physical body, from the supra or metaphysical that some call spirit or soul. And so we'll read a little bit more from the doctor later on after hearing our own stories of evidence of barks from the beyond. So keep an ear out for some of these patterns that will kind of perk up throughout these stories from our own listeners. Things like footsteps, jumps onto the bed, you know, very specific kinds of things. These are patterns, I think, that in a way point to the post-corporeal communications that manifest in these experiences. So I'm excited to hear from our own listeners.
Yeah, for sure.
Some of these accounts. This is just a short, sweet one. I thought was kind of a good way to start the episode.
A German Shepherd,
yeah. I call this many paths.
Hey, guys. First, I'm sorry for your loss, John. I had to put my dog down a few years back, and it was the most painful experience of my life. I feel your pain. My story isn't anything too crazy, but I wanted to share it. As I said, I had to put down my German Shepherd after his health rapidly declined about 3 years ago. It was extremely difficult. One night, about a year later, I had a dream, or perhaps a projection. It was much more real than a normal dream, and felt more like astral travel. I was in a strange place, with several wooden stairways and paths, all in a forest. Then my dog came trotting up one of the paths to me. I was, of course, ecstatic to see him, and he was happy to see me. But it was a short encounter. He turned and walked down another path that I inherently knew I couldn't follow him down. And he didn't seem to expect me to. And he walked away. I woke up and knew that he was just dropping in to say he was still around, and I'd see him again. Death is just a step along the way. I know you guys know that. Nothing really changes but our frequency. And you'll see Jake again. I'll tell my dog to look out for him until then. I've been a listener for years now, since season one, sending a lot of love.
And then, John, this next part's just for you.
He said, and just for you guys, if you read it, especially John, I've been in the military for 12 years, most of which in special operations. I've seen and done a lot of difficult things, but writing this brought me to tears thinking about my dog. Dogs only exist to love and to be loved, so losing them is worse than almost anything else. But the one thing they want from us is our happiness. Don't stay down forever.
Thanks, man.
That was a good one. Short but sweet. I really like the way he phrased that about switching to a different frequency.
Energy is neither created nor destroyed.
Yeah, whether we're tuned into this particular energy at this time or not.
It's just a shift.
Exactly. That's one of the things the doctor mentioned too, is that the idea of, he describes absence and presence. Even though something is absent, like when someone dies or a pet or a loved one dies, they're absent, but that's not proof of non-existence.
Right.
And we'll get into a little more of that later on, but I just think that's a really nice way to put it. Yeah, same thing with the frequency. Just because they're absent from here doesn't mean they don't exist somewhere else. Especially when there's signs that come through. It's interesting too with these stories with people experiencing their pets that have passed. It's very similar to when people have passed, relatives, when the dream seems more real than a dream. That's why I think he was saying maybe some sort of projection.
And you remember it perfectly many years later.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's similar to the NDE.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, dreams generally go away fairly quickly. But yeah, the near-death experience and some of these almost like astral plane visits are just remain like crystal clear.
Yeah. Yeah. Like evidence that they are something real from somewhere.
Yeah. It's definitely a common thread.
Well, there's a short speak pipe we can do here if we want to mix it up and have an audio clip.
Sure. Yeah.
This one comes from Amber. This is one of the first ones we received after our request. This is called Footsteps from the Other Side.
Hi, my name is Amber. I live in Baltimore, Maryland. This story is a short one, and it takes place back in 1999. I was living down in Churchill, Tennessee. I had two twin cats named Bonnie and Clyde. Both were bullseye tabbies. They were young, and it was time to get the male fixed. I did not want them to try to breed, and I didn't want him to spray. So I decided 5 days before Christmas to line up Clyde's surgery to get fixed. I got him ready. I took him up there on the date. I had followed all the instructions the day before, taking away food and water, etc. Well, I called to check on my cat, and they gave me some very bad news and said that he woke up initially from the surgery, but when she went back, he had passed on. I was very, very devastated. I buried him in his Christmas stocking. For the next little while, I could feel him walking up my bed at night like he used to when he wanted to cuddle. I could literally feel each individual step. So I just thought I would share this story with you all and send my condolences regarding your beloved friend.
Thank you, Amber.
Thanks, Amber. Yeah, that's definitely common in a lot of these stories, is the bed.
Yeah.
And walking across. And unfortunately, I haven't had anything like that with Jake, but he also did not spend a lot of time on my bed, but it would still be cool. But yeah, that's definitely the last couple of days. All I've been doing is listening to books and stuff about this topic. So I've heard that countless times.
Yeah.
Especially with cats, where they jump on the bed and purr in the ear. That would definitely be a pretty profound sign.
Yeah. You're woken up by a cat jumping on your chest. Like very, very real, specific, visceral kind of experiences, whether it's, yeah, each individual footstep you can feel or hear. These are some of the patterns that people are experiencing.
Animals just leave so quickly too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a lot of times just so unexpectedly. And people are just not ready. You know, humans tend to like, I mean, people can too, obviously, but generally if people are sick, there's like a slower process of, you know, treatment. And
yeah,
where a lot of times animals die, they're just gone, mm-hmm. You know?
They also have no way to communicate in a real way. So it's like, if you're sick for a while, you know, if you're a human, you might be like,
I get that. Well. I'm talking kind of specifically about something like this.
Right.
You know, or Leo, Brian's dog.
Yeah.
Where it's just like a normal surgery, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, there's something about that that just makes me feel like that was part of the
plan.
Supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, they don't stick around. If they're here
for
to teach
time.
Us certain things and they're gone. And it's just, that's part of the plan for some reason. You're here to learn something from them. And then, you know, they don't stick around. They don't have the weight of humans that get wrapped up in things. They're just,
yeah.
So, I mean, not every time, but a lot of the times they can just leave so unexpected.
Yeah.
It can definitely leave a big, big hole. So thanks, Amber, for sharing. I really appreciate it. And hopefully you have some more animals back in your life.
Yeah. This next story comes from Codester, or Cody, that she contributed on the Discord. And this took place in 2013 in upstate New York. And it is called Deceased Dog Contacts Medium. This is a great one.
Oh, this is a really good one. Hard to deny this one.
Yeah.
I unexpectedly lost my young dog. I was devastated. I spent every day crying. My mom had also just died. Embarrassing but important. I give my pets voices and make them say stupid things. Every pet has a key phrase. This dog's key phrase was, "That's so cool." If he got a new toy, I would make him say, "This new toy is so cool." One night I had a dream. Momo was on my couch. I was asking how he is, asking if he's okay. A random coworker of mine, Lori, was also on the couch, between us. Every time I said something to the dog, Lori would respond for him. Frustrated, I said, "What are you doing here? I'm trying to talk to my dog." And she continued to answer on his behalf. Dream ends. Not long after that, I get a random work message from Lori asking me to come to her office. I was filled with dread because she worked in HR. She asks how I am. With hesitation, she asks if I'm open to things like psychics and life after death. I say, "Well, yes, I ponder those things." She was relieved and asked if she has permission to relay a message. Says she's a medium, but doesn't want this gift and doesn't want to mix work into it. But she keeps receiving a message for me from someone who has passed. I say, sure. She said, it's not your mom. It's a really short young male. The message was,
thank you, thank you, thank you for the life you gave me. Please stop crying. Everything is so cool here.
I immediately knew it was my dog. She went on to say he was very thankful for the life he'd had, and that because he knew love, it made going to the afterlife very easy. I'd adopted him from a very abusive situation. She explained that when a tormented soul tries to go to the afterlife, negative feelings can really hold them back. But if they feel love and peace at the time of their passing, they basically go to heaven instantly. She said because I showed him love, it changed the trajectory of his soul's journey. It was really touching and left us both in tears.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Terrific story. That's pretty incredible. The fact that she was dreaming about this random HR person talking for her dog in a dream and then later finds out that, you know, she has these abilities.
I mean, there's just, you know, there's no way to, like, that's something beyond the physical for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the key phrase, that's so cool.
Right.
She gave her dog and then somehow the HR.
Everything's cool here.
HR medium knew.
Yeah. That's one thing I've learned from all these stories that I've been listening to. It's like animals do not hold on to, you know, any anger or any, you know, anything the way they ended. They just don't have that ability to hold on to grudges or don't ever feel guilty about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because they don't hold on to it.
That's good to hear.
I like what she said too about how the dog had a life that was where he felt love and peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as he died and saved it basically from a traumatic negative experience in the passing. It just reminded me of you and Jake, like
for
life that you gave Jake as a rescue, you know, so much dedication, love, just he knew he was loved.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. Every day, all day. Well, we have another one here. This comes from Joey, who actually is nearby, Canton, Ohio. This took place in 2017, I think may still be ongoing, some of experiences, but it's interesting. Keep an ear out for the connection to a story you guys might know.
Oh yeah.
Previously submitted from Joey, which I didn't realize until after I talked to him from receiving this story.
One of my favorite stories actually that we've had submitted.
That this story connects to. So let's hear this story and then we'll follow up with that. This is called Shadow of the Cat, Reincarnated Elix.
I had a cat growing up named Elix. We picked her out of a litter from my 8th birthday. She was the runt and I felt drawn to her for that reason. She was my best friend and helped me through a lot of dark and traumatic times. I also suffer from chronic illness. Anytime I was feeling particularly bad, she would always come to me and comfort me by laying on my chest. She was an indoor-outdoor cat and would always come home when I needed her, like she could sense it even from far away. I wouldn't say we ever spoke directly in a telepathic way, but I felt indescribably linked to her. She passed away due to a brain tumor when I was 19. I had lost my best friend, or so I thought. She showed up to me in dreams, always with the theme of her feeling lost or forgotten. After some time, though, I started seeing shadows that looked like her out of the corner of my eye. I would also have times of laying in bed, feeling particularly bad, when suddenly there would be the feeling of something jumping onto the bed and a pressure on my chest. I knew it was her. She found me again. These moments comforted me for a few years, until one day they suddenly stopped happening. I figured she had finally moved on. Shortly after a few months, perhaps, a friend of a friend was trying to sell puppies they accidentally had. We already had 2 dogs and weren't planning on getting any more, but once we saw the state of one of the puppies was in, we had to rescue him. He was the runt of the litter, skinny, dirty, and sickly, so we took him home. As he grew up, I felt that same connection with him as I did with her. He started clearly sensing when my chronic illness would flare up, and he would crawl onto me and lay on my chest. He would look into my eyes the same way she did. I don't know how to describe it other than just simply knowing. I believe wholeheartedly that my cat was reincarnated and is now living a new life as my dog.
Love it.
That's pretty beautiful,
that's
man.
That's crazy. I've heard that a lot with cats, you know, sensing someone sick and crawling up on the chest. And I hear dogs crawling up on people's chests. So it's interesting. You know?
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely unique. Yeah, I've definitely listened to a lot of the reincarnation stuff where they tend to follow you around. It's not like a guarantee that they're going to do that, but it's definitely not uncommon, especially if you had a really strong bond. Mm-hmm. So if you notice like very similar habits, and I would think it's more of like a feeling.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of know, like she said, it's not something you can probably easily define.
Oh yeah. Like he said, there was that specific, I mean, looking into the eyes and yeah, like you said, a knowing, I think there are like habits that are definitely like uncanny. Mm-hmm. At times people experience like,
probably
okay.
Looking into the eyes too. Yeah. I would think that there's, you know, this whole episode is not going to be like a hard science
prove it kind of thing.
It's a lot of anecdotal. So, I mean, you have to kind of like, we have to be open-minded a little bit to even entertain some of this stuff. But yeah, I think a lot of stuff in this vein is very personal and very feeling oriented.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to experience it yourself to be proven one way or the other.
Yeah. I think there are studies, there's, you know, especially when it comes to NDEs in general.
It's still a pretty new field.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we don't, especially the modern scientific world doesn't spend a whole lot of time on this.
Yeah.
This is still very, very new in a lot of ways, the near-death kind of stuff. But it's growing. I mean, there's a lot of people that are opening their mind more and more to these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of scientists and doctors too.
Yeah.
That are studying it.
Yeah. I've listened to a lot of doctors that have completely changed because of their own personal experiences. They were very earth-based, you know, atheist or...
Yeah. Materialist.
Very material-oriented, and they have these death experiences, like, and it completely changes the trajectory of their life, and they end up in the field studying or speaking about it.
Yeah, and like you said, this episode is obviously not like a really prove-it, fact-based kind of effort to explain the unknown, but it's still about the miraculous and the magical, and I think our connection with that, with the mystery.
A lot of the stuff that we talk about isn't provable.
Well, yeah.
But it's not like there isn't a lot of, I don't even know how science would have to be serious about studying it to even begin to study it.
Yeah.
And we just don't have enough efforts going into the field. So a lot of it is anecdotal.
A lot of it might be unsolvable.
Well, there's a lot of provable stuff in the near-death experience world. But it's not like science. It's like, okay, so this person was dead and the doctors, you know, they heard the doctors and they
saw
family members in the other room, and they could in detail explain all this stuff to people.
Yeah, their consciousness left
and
their
so
body.
So they had the experience of that's impossible.
Yeah.
But still, it's not like...
Repeatable.
Repeatable sort of thing. And people have to believe that that's the story.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's scientific in the way that there's plenty of studies that have been published on this now through different doctors and scientists
collecting data and that kind of thing.
You know, been developing this field over the past 30 years. But especially the animal stuff, I doubt there's many studies that have been published on animal specific NDEs.
It's got to be an extremely difficult thing to study.
I mean, gather accounts.
And, yeah.
Those are the studies that have been published through. Look, we've done a couple episodes on that with Stevenson and Atwater. Those doctors, those scientists that have like published papers. But as far as, studies, obviously, unless you're going to get machinery strapped up to someone who's about to die and do that sort of thing. Most of the studies are
anecdotal.
yeah. Like flatliners.
Flatliners, yeah. But yeah, maybe someday when we evolve as a species, we will dedicate more time to that stuff. But we're still pretty material based right now.
Yeah, unfortunately. But I'm hoping that changes.
We're on the pioneering edge.
That's right. I think people are hungry for...
Yeah,
I mean, history.
This world has definitely gotten pretty dark. We need some new renaissance.
Yeah, and that's a little bit of that doctor I quoted earlier, part of his paper that I was reading that I'll quote from more towards the wrap-up of the episode, but it definitely goes into that, like the nihilism and materialist world and how, you know, basically this is something that kind of is fighting against that, is this reality people are experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you mention who he is? I didn't.
Yeah.
You did say that? Okay.
He was a... doctor, author, veterinarian, and
vice president of the
Humane Society.
Yeah.
The National Humane Society or something. Anyways, we'll get to more of that later. Back to another story. This story, interestingly enough, I didn't realize until I put it in here and reaching out, trying to keep my brain straight about everyone who's writing stuff in. This is actually also from Cody, who we heard from earlier. And I already put it in here because the story was so good. And again, if you guys do not hear your story, we'll be in touch and we'll have this post on the website as well as probably future episodes on this. But this is such a great story we got early on. This is called All Dog Owners Go to Dog Heaven. And I think Cody called it Deceased Dog
visited me. This story takes place in 2007 in upstate New York.
The dog we had growing up, Mo, passed away from old age when I was about 18. I was extremely close with him. While we were at school and work all day, Mo would spend his days with our neighbor, Jim. They were best friends. Jim had dementia by the time I was going off to college. He didn't have long, but I never received official word of when he passed. Eventually, I had a dream, which I've never forgotten a single detail of. I do not remember any dream. As soon as I'm awake, that dream is history. But this just felt just like real life. I came into the dream by suddenly walking in the fields behind our old family home. I felt the sun shining down on me and smelled the grass and the flowers. It was as it was in real life, only it was more of a meadow now, more flowers. But this was the set of fields behind our home, where I spent a lot of time with our dogs when I was young. Suddenly, I looked down and see Mo trotting along beside me. In life, he had become fat and gray with old age, but here, he looked his absolute best. He had a huge doggo smile on his face, and I heard him tell me telepathically,
"I just want you to see where I am so you know I'm okay."
And I was so happy. I just started frolicking around with him in this meadow behind our home until we got to Jim's yard. Jim was mowing his lawn the way he always had been doing in life. I looked at him, he saw me, and I heard him say, without his mouth moving, again it was telepathically,
"Hey, you're not supposed to be here."
His exclamation wasn't stern, it was friendly, but surprised. And right then, I was suddenly on a bike, and swoosh. I was flying a million miles an hour into the sky. I instantly got past the atmosphere, and thunk slammed into my body. And woke up. It didn't hurt or anything, but it was all incredibly fast. I've never forgotten a single second of that dream. I believe the dog and Jim really are in heaven, just hanging out in the yard together, and that I was paid a very special visit.
Well, that's a cool story.
Yeah.
I feel like that's another really common thing in the near-death experience is the people realizing like, hey, you're not supposed to be here sort of thing. Like, I mean, that makes me feel like wherever she was, that it was more, obviously more than just a dream.
Yeah.
That astral plane.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was probably the final destination of where they probably really are, but it seems like there's a middle ground that we can reach when we're still alive.
Yeah. It reminds me of, we talked about, we did a book on journeys out of the body. And also I think it was the inner paths to outer space, but where the descriptions of this astral plane, when they were doing experimentation in these places, they would run into family members. And I think even pets, we talked about that had died, where there was seemed to be like a middle ground of where like both, but you still as a living person weren't supposed to be astral traveling to this place.
Right.
It was a very similar thing, which definitely gives it credibility in my mind. This
maybe
is a real thing.
Farther than you're supposed to.
Maybe. It reminded me so much of, like, she says, our family home with the meadow in the back. It just reminded me of our folks' home. And, you know, the, with the neighbor there, seems so relatable to your experience.
And if you guys, if you're on Discord and you saw this post when it first came in, Shayna actually had a really good response to this that got me really choked up. You guys should check that out. But she has one quote in here specifically from C.S. Lewis, the Christian author and philosopher or theologian. And
oh, an author of Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, Narnia. But describing specifically what you guys are talking about here, this kind of astral, heavenly kind of in-between space. And she says,
C.S. Lewis speaks of this same sort of thing in his sci-fi short story, Afterlife Exploration, called The Great Divorce.
Oh, yeah.
A world beyond the one we know, and before the one to come. Not a purgatory, but a super natural space where things become their full selves.
Weird. That is, I mean, it's such a exact description of what she was describing with the dog looking young and healthy.
Yeah, it's such a common thread you hear too. I mean, a lot of these stories that we'll get to, seeing your dog after they've gone either in a dream or in the hallway when you're half awake thinking, oh, you know, and then passing and realize, but like when you think back on, oh, I saw him, obviously he's gone, but I just saw him in the hallway and he was, quote, miraculous, like in his best health and body and mind, like everything preserved at your peak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seems to be the space where we exist after this.
Yeah. You know? Which makes sense. Did you want to share your dream, Chris?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I was not expecting to have a dream of Jake, but my mom had one, and we came home last night, and the night before we recorded this, and went to bed like normal. And I woke up, and it was one of those dreams. I always wonder about these sorts of dreams where you fall asleep and you wake up in your dream in the position you fell asleep in, and where it feels very real. Like it doesn't feel like a dream, but I woke up in the dream because I kept smelling as I was sleeping dog breath right in my face.
Jake's dog
felt
breath.
The breath
Jake
of it.
Definitely had strong dog breath.
It was Jake dog breath. And I kept smelling this. And eventually I woke up. I thought I was awake. I woke up in the dream and I couldn't see anything in front of me, but I could smell the breath and feel the breath. And it was Jake's breath. And so I reached out my hand and I started feeling, and then I felt the fur. I felt that kind of silk that he had, that silky sheen fur that was kind of like once you started to wrap your fingers in it, kind of coarse. And I just started to, and then remembering he's dead, and then the hug, and then, but feeling it was Jake, and then I could see him. And then at some point I woke up the next morning. And the dream also was very like, it felt, because I've had sleep paralysis before, it felt very much that sort of feeling where you feel awake, you're very awake, but your movements aren't quite as natural and you feel like you're kind of struggling a little bit with yourself, with your body. And so I was wondering today, was this sort of an astral plane situation because it was the exact layout of the room, all this. And because of course,
almost
Jake
like
was
out of
there.
Body slightly.
Yeah. It was really cool. Yeah. And then what's weird about that is,
what's weird is earlier outside the same room at my folks' house that night, we got home after preparing a lot of the episode and it was late, dark,
rainy, stormy.
But the room was hot, so I went to open the window, and when I opened the window, I heard this just intense ruckus. Is that the word? Just a like commotion on the back deck, like a big animal just got up and then, jostled around and like just ran down the stairs to the deck. It was just weird because it was raining, number one. I don't know why an animal, it seemed like it would definitely...
wouldn't want shelter on the top of a deck.
Yeah.
There's nothing up there right now.
You'd be under the deck. No, there's no coverage up there. It was just like right by the door.
Very strange.
And Jake was known to move very quickly to get up. Like he was on, I always said he was on like a hair trigger. Like if you moved, it was...
Yeah, exactly.
Jump up.
And that was the exact, whether it was Jake or not, that was the exact movement was I opened the window and then it was that immediate just like scurry. Right. And it was a big animal in the rain on the deck. It was just weird. And then for Chris later going to bed in that same room to experience that same thing, who knows, but
I'm looking forward to one of those experiences.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I do believe that there are things, people, animals that operate just on the other side of our visible spectrum, and whether that's the in-between space between here and heaven, or that greater reality or the oneness or whatever we end up in ultimately, or even before a reincarnation.
From a lot of different sources, they kind of overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you can see your animals sometimes is that dimension is for a brief second, it's aligned enough that you can see like they overlap enough that you can briefly see them for a second.
It makes
sense. A lot of experiences where people have seen like full apparitions of the animal.
We have a story or two like that actually coming up in this episode. So let's move on if you guys want to. Some really good stories. Thanks you guys again for sending these in. You guys might recognize this voice. This was another great submission that came in pretty quick after our request. This I call, I know she was there. And this comes from Cameron.
Hey guys, I saw that you put in a special request for pet stories. And I just wanted to start by saying, John, I'm so sorry that that's happened. It truly is a heartbreak that you can't explain to anyone unless they felt it. And that's exactly why I wanted to talk to you guys about my Winnie. A few years ago, I saw this absolutely beautiful white dog on our local rescue page. And instantly I felt like I just had to go get her and bring her home. She was a 3-month-old puppy. And I didn't even know what type of dog she was, but I just instantly had a connection with her. So picked her up the same day, brought her home, and me and her were inseparable. She grew to be a true giant. She would put her paws on my shoulders, and she would actually stand taller than me, and I'm 5'3". Winnie made me feel safe, and no matter what was going on, She was right there. And she and I just, she was my soul dog. I still, to this very day, there's not really a day that goes by that I don't miss her. But she was amazing. And one particular day, she started acting just a bit off, nothing too crazy. But it concerned me enough that I called the vet, and the vet, you know, said if she got worse to bring her in. So the next morning, the first thing that I did was go check on Winnie. And I walked outside and I called for her, and she didn't come. So I immediately started to look for her, looked all around the yard, and I found her under the porch. And the night before, she had almost been completely herself, just a little off. So I sat with her and cried with her and told her how much I loved her, because I knew that I didn't have time to take her. It was totally unexpected and totally shocking, because she was just her normal self the morning before. No signs whatsoever that she was not well. I thought maybe she had a tummy ache that the vet could help us with, but she didn't even make it to the vet. So it was just me and her, and I sat with her, and it was one of the hardest moments of my life, but I felt blessed to be able to be there with her and be the one that helped her over to the other side. But Winnie left a big hole in my heart for a while, you know, after that. And I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, and I missed her so much. And I remember going into the yard and talking to her. And the strangest thing, I just felt like she was there. And I couldn't describe that to anyone. And the presence was so heavy. And I remember feeling almost like I didn't lose her, because her presence was just so strong in the yard. Well, one particular night, it was about two nights after, I went outside and sat on the porch where she and I would stay. And this overwhelming feeling that she was there washed over me. It was the strangest thing. It was like I could do everything but see her. I knew that she was beside me, and I knew that she was with me. And it was extremely calming. It was the calmest I had felt. And the tears dried, and I knew that she was there. And it was almost like she said, "Bye, Mom. I love you." And in an instant, she was gone. And I know people say, I've heard before, that dogs and animals don't have souls. They absolutely do, because she was the purest one that I've experienced in an animal. And I'm excited to see her again one day, as she's my angel, and I know that she'll be the one to welcome me to the other side.
Thank you, Cameron.
Yeah, I definitely, that's probably my biggest regret.
Not being here there that moment.
Yeah.
You couldn't help that, man.
I just wish I would have just brought him to the yard. Just laid with him.
Well, you took him to the ER, you know?
I know, but I knew he was dying. And I just, the worst thought is just, I mean, I know he doesn't hold it against me, but knowing that he was just alone on that cold medical table, that sucks. I wish that I would have just laid with him in the yard and just helped him, you know, be calm. But I mean, I'm not blaming myself, but it's hard not to think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So if you, one thing she did say too, is like, you just know when there's something off
mm-hmm.
with your animal, and you just really got to pay attention to that stuff, even if you just know. And I knew, you know, I just didn't know, but I hadn't had the experience of it. And it's just something to look out for when you know there's something wrong with your pet. Try not to ignore it.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to speak for you at all, John, but it's interesting, because I hadn't heard her story all the way through until you just played it, Jared. But that just reminded me of what you mentioned the other day, how she said, you know, she went out in the yard and she just started talking to her dog. And then suddenly it was like, she like felt almost like he was there, or like felt a presence and felt kind of calm. And it just reminded me of how you went over back into your house again. And, you know, cause you knew you had to go back eventually and work or do something there. And then it was hard to be in there and you just decided to talk to him out loud.
Yeah.
And then you seemed to feel something of a presence there and you started to feel better. I just thought that was interesting.
I mean, the first couple times I went back in the house, it was awful. It was like, you know, I mean, just this cold, dead. It did not feel like my house at all because he wasn't there. But yeah, I knew I would have to face that and kind of deal with it. And I went over there yesterday and, you know, talked to him for a long time and apologized and kind of cleaned a little bit and wrote a eulogy. And yeah, just the energy completely changed. I just felt like he was there again. I mean, it wasn't like an overwhelming presence like she felt there, but it definitely felt like, kind of felt like he was there as far as just, it was just this peace.
Connection.
Yeah. And just, I still can't sleep there, but I definitely feel like I can be there again and like work. Cause I need to, obviously my studio's in there. So yeah, no, it's better. And, I can relate a lot to your last comment too about, you know, when he's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When it's your time. And I feel the same way. Be looking forward to that day. Hopefully not too soon. But
yeah. I need you here a little while. A little while. Yeah, thanks so much, Cameron. That was a great story. Do you want to do another one before you take a break?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Okay. All right. And actually, maybe we could do these two back to back because they're, it kind of is an interesting corroboration for this next one. This is called Dogs Can See the Dead. And this is from Tammy.
Hello, brothers of the whole. My name is Tammy. You can use my name for this recording. John, I'm so sorry for your loss. I can't even imagine. My dog Norman is going to be 12 this year, and I know we don't have that many years left. And a sudden loss would be just beyond heartbreaking, so I'm very sorry. The story I want to share with you is this past February, my mother was dying and I was at her bedside. And one of the activity directors decided to come by after his shift was done with his dog to cheer me up because I was there by myself and it had been like 7 days at that point. And so he brought his dog in around 5-6 o'clock at night. And it's a bigger dog, kind of like yours, like Jake was. And the dog jumped up on my mom's couch and I was scratching it and giving it a little love and just enjoying it because I missed my dog so much. And the next thing we know, the dog is staring at the ceiling, but he was following something back and forth and back and forth. And myself, the activity director, and his friend were all just stunned and amazed and weren't really sure what to think of it. But my first response was, that must be my ancestors, or maybe my dad there to come get mom and bring her home, or maybe even her mom and dad, or the angel of death, who knows. But something definitely was there. You could feel it. And when you're by someone's bedside as they're dying, it is such a sacred space. And I'm so grateful that he brought his dog and I was able to witness that, because I had felt something there. But it was really beautiful, and I'm so glad I had that experience. The other story I'd like to share is my dog, Norman. Each night, you know, after the day is done, we sit on the couch and he's usually down by my feet as I'm laying down watching something or on my phone, and he'll usually just sort of perk up maybe once a week, maybe sometimes twice, but generally once a week. He'll perk up and he'll start following something in the room, going from side to side, following it. It's the strangest thing. I don't feel anything evil. He never growls or barks, but it happens. And I often wonder, with the antiques that we have in this home, if perhaps something isn't attached to that that my dog can see. It's interesting, and I love that dogs can give us, I don't know, a little glimpse into something we're not sure is there, but we want to be there, at least in my case with my mom when she was dying. So I just wanted to send my sympathy, my condolences, and I hope that Jake is enjoying his new life over the Rainbow Bridge. God bless.
Thanks, Tammy. I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's having a blast right now.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, that's a interesting kind of different look at what we're talking about, but the idea that animals are close to that other side, even when they're alive and can see things.
Yeah.
You know,
that was one thing Jake never really did. Kind of surprised, because I feel, you know, fairly open to mm-hmm. that stuff. And he was a very, you know, emotional, very highly intelligent animal, but I never really saw him engage with anything like that, which I always thought was kind of strange. Oh, except the whistler. That's true.
And the pincher.
Yeah, that was a weird experience. That was in the house that I'm still in. But yeah, he, for those that you don't remember or didn't hear, there was a time, I'll just keep it real short, but he totally freaked out over something that happened downstairs. There was like a loud bang. Came running upstairs, totally freaking out. Never seen anything like that with him.
Nothing else in the house. No one else in the house.
Yeah, honestly. Nothing. And just trying to like get in inside of me. He was so freaked out and wouldn't leave my side that night, and normally doesn't spend any time with me upstairs. And it was in the room, and then heard this woo-hoo, like whistle. I can't whistle, but it just totally flipped out again, you know, trying to, I was just like, what the heck was that? And I mean, the rest of the night he was in my bed. Ended up, you know, happening again, like not the whistle, but like something looked like it was like pinching him.
This is so weird, dude.
Yeah. Like he would just immediately react like something had just grabbed him. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, turn around, yeah. Try to like grab it.
And then the whole thing would happen again. We just absolutely freaked out.
I thought of you, John. I don't think I told you about this.
It's a crazy synchronicity.
We had a submission very recently, and I won't tell the whole story.
Is this coming up today?
No, this isn't today. Oh, we're going to save it for a future episode. But basically, it's this experience this guy had in his home with whistling something, and that his dog heard and that he heard. And the story's pretty dramatic. I won't get into that. Pretty incredible experience. But towards the end of the story, there is an encounter with whatever this thing was, and it pinching at his dog's butt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's in the story. So we'll definitely tell it, have to do it on the next Lister Story episode.
Okay, so that wasn't submitted for this topic specifically.
I don't know if it was or not, okay. But I just saw it recently. I don't remember if it was before or after.
This was early on in the home too. So I think, I mean, and the whole history of the house is whoever was there before, it was some dark stuff going on there.
Yeah.
It's an old house. Really, it's like a parsonage next to a church. And it had very weird energy at the beginning. I don't really feel that anymore there nearly as much. But yeah, so he felt that.
Yeah, that's something he definitely noticed. But that is an interesting aspect to animals. And I think before we get to the break here, there's just one really short speak pipe that was sent in by Pete. Actually, it's a dogman whisperer, but this is kind of along the lines of several people who've contacted us who are hospice nurses.
Yeah.
Who all have experiences or knowledge about things that go on when you're right at that precipice. And this is specifically about that same kind of thing. So it just worked really well, I think, with that last story. The clip is called Hospice Secrets of the Other Side. That would be a great topic for an episode, by mm-hmm. the way. This is from Pete.
Hey guys, I'm very sorry to hear about Jake for starters. I have 8 dogs myself. This is Pete, one of the Dogmen level supporters that you guys have. Love what you do. I'm a nurse. I'm on break right now. Just letting you know that a very common occurrence that happens, particularly in nursing homes that you see, and at home, so I'm a hospice nurse. Pets that normally have nothing to do with particular individuals, when that person is getting close to death or is going to die, no one knows about it, will all of a sudden start hanging out with that person. Cats and dogs, you'll often see patients and people say, oh, the dog or the cat is just attached to them, sleeps with them, won't leave their room, and they've never gone there before. As soon as we hear that, we have to start preparing the family that the patient is going to die imminently, and they 100% do. A lot of nursing homes have cats really for that reason. If the cat is hanging out in a room they don't usually hang out in, They know that the patient is most likely going to pass soon, even if there's no outward indication of that. I don't know if there's a smell or just exactly what it is, but happens all the time. Nothing new. I'm sure you guys have heard a lot, but if you ever want to hear anything else, let me know. I have a lot of stories from 20 years of nursing. So, okay, guys, thanks a lot. Again, sorry about Jake. That's all you can really say about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, it doesn't surprise me.
I find that specifically curious, incredible anecdote that a lot of nursing homes will have cats specifically
on
for
hand.
That reason is like a death detector almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a famous cat, Oscar, I think was the name, years ago that like made all the newspapers, but it was known for this.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, the smell thing, maybe they can smell it, but I don't feel like that would be the reason they would want to hang out in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a draw for some reason.
I feel like, because you think animals would not want to be around something decaying.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe that's not true. But I like to think that it's because they'd like to, you know, help comfort them on the transition. That's a nicer version.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Or the cat just likes to steal their soul.
It did pop into my head. Isn't that from a...
They do have a reputation for that.
Is that a thing? Oh, that's like an old folklore.
Yeah.
But that's usually babies.
Babies and cats. Keep them out of the room, they said.
Ireland? Was that Irish superstition?
Maybe.
I don't recall. Anyway, thank you for that.
Yeah, definitely. If you got any more good stories, feel free to send them in.
Yeah, for sure, Pete. And along those lines of hospice nurses, at the end of the episode, I think one of the most profound and affecting speak pipes that we got is from Amanda, the hospice nurse. So that's coming up too. That was pretty emotional. But I hope you guys are digging this episode.
You say he had 8 dogs?
8 dogs.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I wonder what it's like to lose dogs, you know, like when you have a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Is it as hard or?
I think it probably just depends. I know that other animals obviously feel the loss too.
Yeah.
But you are together with, you know, even if you have a family and a pet, you know, especially hard for you and Jake because it was like you two together.
Yeah.
You know, just like brothers to the end. And I think if you have people that share that connection, it's probably a little easier than what you've had to deal with versus just you and him.
I mean, if you have like a family or something, you know, other people around you in your home. I really do feel like I lost my home too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because I don't have anyone else there.
It was the only other living life force in your house since you've lived there.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I feel like when I do get a dog again, I almost certainly will get 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let another dog go through like being alone anymore.
It's funny. I was talking to our friend Brian about, you know, when he lost Leo and he's like, you know, I keep thinking like, should we add another, you know, cause now he's got a kid and his wonderful lady Dina. And he's like, I keep thinking like, can I get another dog? And he's like, what I keep going back and forth on, what's held him up over the years of getting one is it's really hard. Cause he wants that connection he had with Leo being a shepherd, being so intelligent, that emotional connection, you're very aware, but also his fear is a similar fear. I think you had mentioned this the other day, was that he wants to get another shepherd because he knows that connection with shepherds and the intelligence, but the loss of that sort of dog might be much harder than, so he's like, part of me just wants to get like a really dumb dog so
right,
I don't connect as much. So it's not as hard.
Emotional,
you know?
Intelligence. Yeah, something that doesn't seem to, I mean, that, you know, Jake definitely did feel like he had a higher level of intelligence, and that is kind of known for shepherds. They almost feel like he really did feel like a human being. Like when you looked into his eyes,
very communicative, like, too, with their
extremely talkative.
Yeah.
And not to put anything, any other dogs down. That's not the point of what we're saying. But yeah, I have that feeling too. Like I do want another shepherd because they're so loyal and just, you know, loyal, protective.
Connected.
But they're also an incredible amount of work too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so much energy and
so much energy and to train them. And they're working dogs. So they, you know, thrive in working situations where a lot of other dog breeds are more like just cool, just hanging out.
Yeah. Chill. Well, I say that we take the magic and wonder of the animal connection and the miraculous with that, and then twist it into maybe a direction towards adventure for a little breath of fresh air for the expansion, right, Chris? What's coming up for the expansion?
Expansion
is going to be a little lighter, a little more adventurous version of this kind of feel when it comes to the relationship between people and animals, wild animals too.
That mystical bond.
Yeah, we're going to be covering some miraculous animal rescues, where animals come to the aid of humans in life or death situations, where they demonstrate empathy, where you wouldn't expect them to.
A kind of intelligence you mentioned, right? Wasn't there a name for it?
Oh, yeah. A good example of some of these creatures in the animal kingdom that have a a theory of mind is what it's called, where they can tell that other animals or people have their own minds and thinking, or thinking for themselves. They see themselves different from their surroundings. So we'll get into that a little bit too, but we'll also talk about why. What causes sometimes animals that would, you know, most often eat someone? Why in this moment are they protecting someone? Did they save someone? For example, a few lionesses in Africa, Ethiopia, saving a kidnapping victim from her kidnappers. Or we also have bear stories coming up where they help out people. Pigs, pretty sweet story with a pig.
Well, not all bears are evil man-eaters, Chris.
No, but more often than not, they're not going to look out for people in life or death situations. I mean, the reason why these stories are so incredible is because you don't hear them very often.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you got to have a dolphin story in there.
Oh, yeah. We got some great dolphin stories.
Megorius.
So, Megorius the Grand might make an appearance.
All dolphins are magic, Jonathan.
He's back.
But yeah, it's going to be a really, really interesting episode. So definitely join us.
A good twist, Chris.
Yeah, I think it'll be a nice send-off for Jake, too. Kind of, yeah.
Because he was a very intelligent, empathetic
animal. I'm sure he had his own theory of mind. But yeah, join us in the expansion if you're not a member yet. Sign up for the expansion at Bleeful.com. Click the big red expansion button, and you can join us for plenty of episodes of wonderful, interesting information and fun.
Sounds good.
You want to take a quick break?
Yeah, guys, we'll see you after the break.
And now for a clip of this week's expansion episode.
When the roughly 47-foot-long, 50,000-pound humpback approached marine biologist Nan Hauser, who was swimming near the whale, she assumed that he would swim around her. Instead, the massive whale started to push her around. He nudged her with his rostrum or snout and tried to lift her out of the water onto his head, belly, and back. He pushed her and pulled her with his huge pectoral fin and even tried to tuck her under it. In all of her 28 years of swimming with whales, Hauser had never experienced a whale handling her the way this humpback was. As the whale continued to graze and grope her, Hauser grew increasingly worried about her safety. She knew that if the whale bumped her too hard, he could easily break her bones or cause internal injuries. And if he held her under his fin too long, she could drown. Even though the biologist believed that her life was in danger, she tried to stay calm and kept her underwater camera rolling. About 10 of the longest minutes of her life, she was finally able to disengage from the whale and swim toward the safety of her research vessel. Other than some scrapes from the barnacles on the whale's body, Hauser was physically okay, but mentally, she was utterly perplexed by the whale's behavior. When Hauser had just about reached the boat, she looked back and saw a second humpback tail whacking what appeared to be yet another whale, a third whale. Just as this third whale started swimming toward her, she suddenly saw something that confirmed her life had really been in danger. What she thought was a third whale was actually a 15-foot-long tiger shark. The humpback hadn't been attacking her. He had been protecting her from the shark. And while her humpback hero was trying to keep her away from the shark, the second humpback had been doing his part by tail slapping it. Once she was back on her research vessel, Hauser and others on board reviewed the footage of the encounter and confirmed that the humpbacks appeared to be trying to protect her from the shark. Hauser is president of the Cook Islands-based Center for Cetacean Research and Conservation in the South Pacific, and she has nearly 3 decades of experience in researching.
Welcome back, guys. I've got some really great speak pipes for you coming up here. This next one's pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah.
This is kind of a different spin here. This comes from a... Does she refer to herself as a psychic or a medium, or is it just she just has this kind of ability?
Yeah, I mean, she works with this ability. I don't know if she does it professionally, but she has psychic contact with animals.
Okay. She sent this in back when we did our Animal ESP episode a couple seasons ago.
Season two?
That was a while ago.
Morphic Fields, really interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's an example of how it takes time to get to stories sometimes because we just have so many to go through. But this is a really interesting little account. It's a little fun too, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of 3 short accounts in one.
her experiences with this ability, and there's some humor. Yeah. And this comes to us from Alita, and this is in South Africa.
Well, hello, hello from South Africa, where everyday life is actually scarier than the paranormal. I'm Alida. I recently found your podcast and I've been binge listening to it. And yesterday afternoon, I listened to the episode about animal telepathy and ESP, and it reminded me of some experiences that I had communicating with animals. My family has always been able to see things and hear things, so I grew up thinking these kinds of things were normal. So recently, a friend of mine contacted me and said that somebody she knows lost her cat. The cat ran away after a scare, and she asked me to reach out and see if I could contact the cat. And I did, and I got a response immediately. It's a cat I've never seen before. I don't know the owner. And I simply asked the cat where she was. And as you said, most animals communicate by putting images into your head. So this little cat, she wasn't fully grown yet, but not a kitten anymore, but she put an image into my head of her cowering under a rose bush. And I described this to my friend, and she said, oh yes, they know this place. There's a neighbor in the vicinity that has rose bushes. And then I asked the cat whether she knew the road home or the way home. And she said, yes, she does, but she's scared. And I said, okay, but the thing that scared you is gone now. So do you think you can go home? And then she put an image into my head of the back door of a house with a porch light kind of on, or a porch light switched on. And I said to my friend, can you ask her owner to go to the back door and put on the light? And she did. And less than half an hour later, the cat came strolling in. So that was one experience. And then quite a few years ago, I had a very good friend who had a miniature schnauzer. And his name was Chester, and he was an adorable little dog. And one afternoon on a Saturday, I was on my couch reading, and the next moment, Chester was standing right next to me, just looking up at me. But I knew that it wasn't the dog in person. And I looked at him and I said to him, are you passing over? You can't be here. You have to go where you need to go. And he disappeared immediately. And before I could phone my friend, she phoned me and said, he took ill suddenly and he passed away. So he basically came to tell me that he had passed away. And then I had a really special bond with my best friend's dog, Chi. He was a big French poodle with a huge personality, and he had this air around him that he had this just huge ego. And at a stage, he started just communicating with me, but he didn't use images. Excuse me. He used words. He spoke in language. And I remember one morning at about 2:30 in the morning, he woke me up with, hey, hey, hey. And I woke up and he was like, I need to pee right now. And well, I phoned my friend at 2:30 in the morning going, can you please just open the door? The dog wants to pee. And she was like, I can't. He's at the vets. He's spending the night there. So he contacted me for some help. And a while later, she said to him, you have to go to Heather, which is his physiotherapist. And he looked me dead in the eye and said, Heather is an asshole. because she made him run on a treadmill. But anyway, those are my experiences, and thank you for an awesome podcast.
Thank you.
That was great.
Yeah. Great, Alita. I think Chris suggested we just tell that story.
Heather is an asshole.
So she is psychic?
Yeah. She has some ability to communicate with...
Is it like her profession or is it just...
I don't know.
It doesn't seem like it's her profession.
Yeah. It sounded like she was doing... People would reach out to her through a friend and then she would do favors. She might charge. She didn't mention that. To me, it just sounded like she had this ability, her family had these abilities just to see things from time to time, and maybe... Her friends just knew that, and so there was communication. But I didn't necessarily pick up that it was like a business.
No, she didn't mention anything like that. Didn't seem like it.
Very interesting.
It's interesting that the French poodle who had to pee that said Heather was an asshole, that she was the only animal that, as she said, you know, we've talked about in that other episode, in the Morphic Fields episode, that animals tend to use images in people's minds. But that one dog, for some reason, that French poodle, would use language, English language, for some reason.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is interesting. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. It was a nice...
I've heard like kind of a mix of like language, but if they don't know the word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obviously, I don't think they're necessarily using
English. Not actually speaking in English, but putting the ideas of the words in your mind probably. Yeah.
Yeah, a dog might understand in their mind the word pee, because they probably
hear
that. You want to go pee?
Want to go potty?
He's potty, yeah.
Versus like porch light, a cat might not know that word, so it would be a picture. But interesting idea.
Some of this reminds me of the telepathic communication we did, the animal telepathic
communication. Yeah, that's what she was writing in, actually, after listening to that. Yeah,
yeah.
Animal ESP.
I like the story about the dog that just appeared.
Oh, yeah. Just like as he was crossing over. Yeah. It was interesting about that. It just popped into my head, maybe neither here nor there, but I remember discussing on an episode a while back, especially back before television, things like that, there was something about the amount of people seeing spirits of crisis apparitions of people who were dying or just died, people experiencing that while reading. It was like a noted phenomenon. While reading a book, then seeing someone who died on their way passing over. It was just weird because she was reading in that moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It
just popped into my head.
It seems like that would be the perfect state of mind.
You're like in a trance almost.
Right. Yeah. It's like a waking hypnagogic state.
Good point. Yeah.
And now we're so like on our phones, which are so distracting.
Yeah. Cause you're creating the reality when you're reading in your mind.
Right.
So you're still aware, present,
it's
but
almost
you're also,
like a meditation.
Yeah. It's a passive kind of, but not in like a,
not a TV way where you're not just, a brainwash. You're just absorbing constant, you know, lights and noise. And
definitely this experience has made me just like turn off the phone.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want my mind clear, and definitely a time to like just reevaluate, okay, what am I really putting in my brain right now?
Yeah.
You know, just so much mindless. I mean, I don't pay attention to negative stuff, but there is just a lot of filler, you know, that we tend to put in our brains that makes you want to reevaluate. Okay. Like what really is like a way to use my life in a better way?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't have ton of, you know, it's just a reevaluate. It really, death really is like a
clarifier,
a gift in that way. It really makes you focus on what's important.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, are you ready for two more extremely heavy speak pipes?
Yeah, these are pretty emotional ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Very personal, but
get the tissues.
This next one comes from Quentin Sheldon. And this I call Murder of Crows.
So I had a dog. He was a pit bull rescue. His name was Dozer. Greatest dog I've ever had in my life. Best dog in the world. But everybody in the world thinks that they have the best dog in the world. And everybody's right. But regardless, I had this dog. He was a big old pit bull mastiff mix. And his head was so big. We called him Fathead. And he loved to run because we lived out in the country. His boy just loved to run. He would go rides with me in the pickup truck, and he would run so hard to get to the truck. He would break toenails on my bridge to get there and stuff. Like, he had the best life. And one day he decided to take a walk, and it was hunting season, and somebody took it upon themselves to shoot my dog because he just happened to be in front of their blind, which wasn't even off of my property, I should add. But afterwards, I knew I couldn't do anything about it. If I walked back there, I would have been shot too, or I would have shot him. So I just stayed home and cried and cried and cried. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is, not long afterwards, I came home and I got super intoxicated, we'll put it that way, so I could finally sleep. And in my dream, I remember looking down. We would take walks on the creek together. And in my dream, I looked down and I saw his paw prints in the sand where we were taking a hike down the creek. And when I looked up from his paw prints in the sand, there was this murder of crows and a tree branch. And when I made eye contact with them, they flew away and morphed back together in the sky as my dog Dozer. And then they turned back into birds and flew away. And it just hit me so hard in my heart that I knew he was in a better place. So I just had to share that with you. I know the pain of losing a pet. It's like losing a family member. So my heart goes out to you sincerely. I will keep you all in my prayers. And just know he's in a better place now. And he still loves you and watches you from above.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Quentin.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that sucks. What a...
Yeah. Who shoots a dog?
Man, that sucks, dude. But yeah, I totally agree with you.
Oh, and birds, man.
Yeah.
Mitch, your thing that happened.
Oh, yeah, did you mention that?
I think this is really interesting.
What?
When you were driving?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of stories that I've heard that it's birds and feathers. It's like a big symbol that they leave. And, I was driving today, and when I was listening to one of those stories, I had just heard it several times, and especially like cardinals, I think. And as I was driving down this back road, there was just like bird after bird, just like swooping right in front of my car. There's probably like 10 to 15, like just in a row, one after the other. And it felt, you know, it's one of those things that's just not overwhelming, but it was like cool. It was, yeah. It was like, it felt kind of special.
Yeah. Sounds like it would be something trying to get your attention.
Well, yeah. Birds are messengers. At least they are said to be.
Especially from the beyond, because mm-hmm. that's kind of the symbolism of flight and metamorphosis.
It was weird. I told John this the other day, but I forget, this had come up right after Jake died about birds. And it was weird because like the day before I had been listening to just a random old Art Bell interview. And
rest in peace, by the way, he dies tomorrow.
Oh, is it tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Art Bell died?
Saturday, April 13th.
Oh, wow. Anyway, but I was listening to a story about, it was just randomly about how, oh, someone had called in about something to do with their wife that had died, and this bluebird kept appearing, and it was the same color as this, her favorite dress. Art had said there is something about birds, because his own personal experience was that they were leaving on a trip, and I think it was the trip his wife died on. And suddenly, as they were getting in the RV, this bird came in and flew in his face, and feathers were flying everywhere and hitting him in the face. And he just felt like there was something, there was like some message it was trying to give him, because it wasn't an attack. It was like, it was just wanted to be like, hey, whatever. Yeah. And then I think his wife died on that trip, but it just reminded me of what we were talking about. There is something to birds for sure.
It symbolizes like the soul, I think, mm-hmm. flying away.
Leaving the body.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
all right.
This last story is a really good story. This comes from Amanda, the hospice nurse. And I call this Back into Bed.
Hey guys, my name is Amanda. I've been a listener for a while, and I got the message about Jake, and I just wanted to say how sorry I am for what you guys are going through. It's never, ever easy. Not for anybody, not for any reason. I wanted to tell you the story of Thomas the cat. When I was 5 years old, my dad found him as a stray, wandering in the middle of Phoenix in the dead of summer. And he was this gigantic monster cat with crazy layers of black fur, just long, luxurious fur. We found out later he's a type of cat called a Maine Coon. And Tom was over 20 pounds. He was a big monster cat. I'm not kidding. He was a big cat. And he was smart. And he was loving, and he just got better with age. We had Tom for 20 years, and he did a lot of really funny little things to demonstrate his intelligence, just a lot. He was just the best cat. But one of the things that he used to do was just part of his daily routine, was he would greet everybody in the morning. And at least for me, what he would do is he'd jump up on the bed at my feet. And it was this solid weight of 20 plus pounds of cat jumping on the bed. So it always made me stir a little bit because it was quite the thing. And he'd slowly, methodically crawl up the side of the bed and sort of gracelessly position himself on my chest. And I can't... The feeling of him flat on my chest, chest to chest like that, with all that weight, was so comforting. It was so nice. And with his little claws, he'd knead my chest and he would purr like a jet engine. And sometimes he'd rub my face, and that was just the thing that he did. It was his way of saying good morning and I love you. Well, after 20 years, he was diabetic and partially blind, and he had arthritis, and life just got progressively harder for him. And I was away in the military at the time, and my mom called, and she told me that he hadn't eaten for a few days and he wasn't getting up, and she wanted to know what I thought we should do. And she talked to all of us kids about it, and we all were in agreement that because we did love him so much, we didn't want him to stay in pain. So they took him to the doctor, and it was really peaceful. And it was really sad. It's hard to let go of somebody who's been in your life for 20 years like that, but what could you do? It wasn't any kind of life that he had. And, you know, life went on. 2 days later, I'm asleep in bed, and I feel that jolt. You know, I'm out of it, and I feel that jolt. My cat just jumped on the bed. And I didn't think about it, you know. And I feel his footsteps one at a time, real methodical, and then just ever so slowly crawl his way right onto my chest and sort of ooze with all 20 pounds of him and all that weight and all that heaviness. That sensation of him laying there on my chest, and then just like always, he started to knead my chest and he started to purr. And just like always, it was like home. It was, I love you. Hi. And I woke up and I wondered where he was, and then I remembered, A, I don't have a cat, and B, he died 2 days ago. Tom's gone. But that was real. The sensation of him on my chest was as real as anything else, and I knew how lucky I was to have experienced that, and I knew he was telling me that he was okay. So John, just know wherever Jake is, he's okay. And he loves you, and he's just waiting. Thanks, guys, for all you do.
Thank you, Amanda. Well, she's our story.
It's a good way to end it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, that was a
heavy episode.
Heavy episode. We don't do anything like that very often. So for the people that stuck around, I'm sure you can relate to this.
Special episode for a special dog, you know,
yeah.
For Jake.
And if for some reason you're a new listener, if you found this episode, you might like our other stuff that isn't nearly as heavy, but it still deals with paranormal stuff and is much lighter in nature.
Yeah.
But we also hope that for the people that can relate to this, that have gone through this, you know, it was cathartic in a way.
Absolutely.
A way to remember your pets and cherish the ones you have.
And give hope too, I think.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I have no doubt that I will see him again and that he can see me now. Yeah. I really deeply believe that. And I think we all go on, so.
Yeah. This one's for you, Jake.
Absolutely,
You'll always be our dog man, Jake. Yeah.
Would say I'll miss you forever, but I don't think...
You'll have to.
I'll have to. I think that we're still connected and we always will be.
Amen, damn brother. Right.
And for the final thing, Robin Suhu.
Oh, yeah.
You have a special stinger that I made for you. And
why do we do these, John? What was your impetus for this? Did you have a...
Well, I think she said something about she was having a rough time and
she really liked Shays, I think.
Oh, Stinger?
She was, oh, yeah. So she liked Shays. And it's, so it's kind of in the same vein. It's a little bit more almost like a love song, but not like specifically like I love you. Just
emotive.
A little bit more emotive and
works with this.
Apparently Sue has a very big personality and has been kicked off of social media platforms, but
oh, yeah.
She's not afraid to speak her mouth.
Speak her mind.
Yeah, she's not afraid to speak her mind, speak her truth. So there's some of that in there. And yeah, Sue, so I hope you enjoy this. And this one's for you, Sue. Robin. Sorry, I keep saying Sue.
Robin Suhu.
Robin Suhu. That's Sue. It's kind of, I think, a nickname maybe. She's on Discord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Suhu has a ghost in her bedroom. She's a grandma of four and saw a spook in her closet door. She knits and she crochets and she's lived in eight different states. She doesn't mince words on social media, so it's gone the way of the dodo bird. Robin Suhu, there's a ghost in your bedroom. I'm sure he's just there to tell you he cares. Robin Suhu, I am glad that you're being you. And today is the day that your song is being made. Robin Suhu truth. Even when she is faced with getting kicked off of platforms like the Book of Face.
The Book of Face.
Robin Suhu, you keep doing you.
Nice.
You keep doing you.
That was great, John. Very sweet.
Yeah.
So is that a scary ghost in her room or more of like a friendly ghost?
I think it was.
We hope it's friendly.
She said that I think the last email she sent was more of like just a nuisance than anything.
Just like
scary.
A roommate she can't do anything about kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so.
That's good.
So yeah.
Well, thanks, Robin Suhu, for being a listener and for being you.
Yes.
And we hope you don't get kicked off our social media. We won't kick you off.
As long as you don't go too crazy.
As long as you don't go. No death threats, please.
Just be somewhat respectful and nice to people.
Oh, I'm sure she is.
Yeah, we all know social media can be very one-wayed.
Oh, actually, this is probably a good time to say this. I do feel bad because I think she was one of the people that commented and said, there was an issue with the Facebook post we made about Jake because I think someone had a fake account that was spamming people's comments. So then other people were getting innocently marked as spam by the Facebook bot.
Not by us.
By the way, we did not set that up. So someone was like, well, you can get me anyway.
Well, someone also commented that Facebook right now is because they're trying AI spam control and stuff. A lot of people are, across all pages are getting marked spam that aren't. So I think because we had one person that had kind of spammed that post, everyone who had responded to that at the same time or something also got marked. So yeah, I don't know how many people got marked,
but
it was a lot.
Let us know if you're getting.
I don't know if there's anything we can do. It's just kind of with that post that happened.
But it was interesting because Robin Suhu had commented, I think it was her on that said like, I'm already on thin ice with Facebook. So I decided not to try to post that again.
That's funny.
She tried to leave a comment. So, but thank you guys for your comments.
Yeah. Everybody that reached out with such amazing support and kind words and everyone whose stories that you guys sent in, if we didn't get to them, hopefully we'll get to them in the future. And again, I'm going to put them on the website. So they'll all be up there. We'll link in the show notes to that stuff. And yeah, again, you guys are the best community I think that any podcast could dream to have. Just the heartfelt messages and genuine connection, I think, even with the group themselves. So you guys are awesome.
Yay!
All right, guys. Thanks for sticking with us. And have a good rest of your day.
We'll see some of you in the expansion for Dolphin Fun Time.
All right, guys. Take care.
Bye.
Speak, bud. Jake, what do you think of Belief Hole? Should really people come to live streams?
Good boy. Good boy.